Welcome to the FTN NBA Podcast with your hosts, Adam Pfeiffer and Joe Metz. Presented by the FTN Network, this two-man fast break runs you through the best cash and tournament options for every game on today's slate.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back. It is the FTN Fantasy NBA Podcast. Presented, of course, by the FTN Network. Adam Pfeiffer here. Joe Metz with me, as always. TJ McConnell, Joe. Did you play him tonight? I mean, 9 steals in the first half, an NBA record. He's been the talk of NBA DFS Twitter this evening. I'm not too familiar with the Top Shot streets, but I'll imagine something regarding his performance might be on Top Shot. I don't even know if what I said makes sense, but yeah, what's up?
What's up, man? I actually did not play DFS lineups on this slate. Got a little busy pre-lock. I did lock in some bets, but I did not have the TJ McConnell over on the steals. So kicking myself for that one. If there was any player in the NBA you think would do that, I feel like TJ McConnell is the one that just makes sense.
I think
you might have 9 Top Shot moments. So that was, by that statement, I would have no idea. You had no idea what you were doing with Top Shot. So well done.
That's for another day. I think it's cool.
Yeah.
If you like it, that's cool. It's all good for you. I appreciate it. But I'm surprised it's been this popular. It's like I go on Twitter and I see Top Shot, and then I remember that I'm in fantasy Twitter and I see, oh, people are talking about Irv Smith with Kyle Rudolph out. By the way, hashtag let Irv swerve, stuff like that. So Top Shot has been dope. I'm about to look into it more, but we have a final slate before the All-Star break here, Joe. 9 games, a lot of news. There's the Raptors who have suddenly been hit by the health protocols. Other teams in the league are banged up. And with this being the final game before the All-Star break, we could see some veterans just kind of take the night off. We will see. But All-Star break, during that time, I mean, what a better time to follow all the Twitter handles for FTN and the podcast. I mean, the baseball podcast, yep. Cork Stats, the FTN Fantasy Pod, like Matty Wood, all these guys, they are crushing it right now. And baseball starts weeks, what is it? What's the third? March 3rd?
The 3rd. It's set to our April 1st. Is that?
Yeah. So get on that. I mean, it's a great opportunity to get, if you haven't been paying attention during the offseason for baseball, perfect time during the NBA All-Star break. Also perfect time to follow the Chalk Fade podcast at Chalk Fade on Twitter. D-Bro and I have been breaking down a bunch of prospects for the upcoming NFL draft. We'll have Pat Crane on Thursday to talk about Elijah and Rondale Moore. We've done about 10 to 12 of those already. Plus, we're launching a mock draft we recorded. So a ton of football content. Also, the FTN offseason hub for the NFL. So we'll have prospect profiles in written form, free agency impacts. There's already articles about JJ Watt signing with the Cardinals. Enjoy your 9 wins. Could have went to Buffalo. I'm not bitter. Let's get to these games around the league. And we'll start with Toronto, who we talked about. They were without Van Vliet, Siakam, and OG Anunoby on Wednesday. They, I would assume, are out again for Thursday. Chris Boucher started on Tuesday in place of Siakam, but then came off the bench and Aaron Baines started on Wednesday. So you'll have to play that by ear. It's very possible that Baines starts. It's very possible that Boucher starts. And you also alluded to this before the podcast, but with this being a depleted team, second end of back-to-back before the All-Star break, maybe Kyle Lowry gets the night off. But do they have enough bodies to afford doing that? What do you make of this Toronto team?
It's tough. I mean, obviously, we already know for certain that OG and Siakam are out through the break. I believe Van Vliet is out as well. Like you said, Boucher started Tuesday, on Monday, I believe. Wednesday, we saw Terrence Davis and Utah Watanabe start. But looking at the game right now, so they just entered the fourth quarter at the time of recording for us. And neither of these guys in Utah or Terrence Davis, Utah's played 11 minutes, Terrence Davis 17. So it's,
you
guys
know why, have started. You know why he hasn't done anything?
Because he's not playing Anthony Edwards?
Well, I was going to say he's too busy looking around for Anthony Edwards to make sure he doesn't get absolutely postered again.
But DeAndre Bembry, 22 minutes right now off the bench. Stanley Johnson, 18. Matt Thomas, 14. Paul Watson, 11. They're playing some scrubs right now. So I think whether Lowry's in or not, My top option on this team is going to be Norman Powell. He's been impressive just about all season whenever any of Lowry, VanVleet, or Siakam are out, let alone two, maybe three of them. Through 36 minutes right now with 7 minutes left in the game, he's 14 for 19 with 36 points. Priced up on FanDuel, the 7-4 DraftKings, he's priced at 7K flat. I'm okay with both of these prices, understanding that he will probably take 20-plus shots in the game. Boston's defense, especially without Marcus Smart, is not even a shell of what it was last season. And I genuinely don't think people will be open to play him at this price just because they're used to him being, you know, $2,000 less. When someone is that much more expensive, the sticker shock kind of takes over. So whether Lowry's active or not, Norman Powell is my favorite option. If Lowry's active, it's hard not to just go back to the well there. 31 minutes so far tonight, 21-6-3. Obviously, we know he is a walking triple-double threat, especially when there are so many vacancies in the offense.
They have no...
literally no ball
handlers. No facilitators. Like,
yep, none.
He has a 27% assist rate with Siakam, VanVleet, and OG off the floor this year, and near 30% usage rate. Like, they don't have anybody else that's really going to get notable assists.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the only concern with Lowry is second end of a back-to-back on the last day before the 5 days off on a team that is already littered with health and safety protocol issues. So they might just mail it in and say, hey, just take a breather, come back next Wednesday. So until we hear that he's out, he will be an elite play. But Norman Powell is my number one option. I'll let you take over and hit on what you think about like Chris Boucher and the rest of the team.
Yeah, and Norman Powell, 33.2% usage rate, easily leads the team. I think Chris Boucher is, like, it hasn't really changed. Like, he's a little bit more trustworthy now, obviously, but he's still somebody I would probably just prefer in tournaments. How many minutes is he at tonight?
So far tonight, off the bench, he is at 17 minutes with 7:21 left in the game. So he's not even, like, that's not anything different than we're used to seeing a full rotation.
Which, and I think a lot of people will view him as like a really trustworthy play now, but I don't even know if that's the case.
I mean, he's on the court right now, so he could finish with a maximum of 25 minutes.
Right, which is been right around his ceiling for a lot of these games this year.
It's disappointing.
Yeah, I don't even know if I would want to go to Boucher, honestly. And how many minutes is Baines at?
Aaron Baines, he started, he has played 24 minutes so far, and there are, like I said, 7.5 minutes left.
So if Baines starts again at 3,900, he could be a decent value play. Let's go to Boston, a little bit more concrete there. Kemba Walker, 7,200, he's been much better lately. That report we got when he first came back of, hey, he's going to be capped to 30 minutes the rest of the season, that was clearly not true because he's been 33 minutes or more in each of his last six games. The shot's been better. He's been over 40 fantasy points in three straight. He's kind of interesting at that price tag because the usage is literally being dominated by Kemba, Jaylen Brown, and Jason Tatum. All three are healthy in this game. Tatum's obviously been a little bit up and down. I personally think I prefer Jaylen Brown at $1,000 cheaper, who's also been underwhelming as of late, over Tatum. Toronto, a bad spot up defense this year, like they were last year. Third most points per game to spot up shooters at 35.2 per game. Jaylen Brown, since the start of last season, has been one of the best spot up shooters in basketball. Right now, though, in 2020-2021, averaging 5.5 spot up points per game. It's actually tied for the 12th most in the league with Norman Powell. So I like Jaylen Brown. I think Kemba's a lot more interesting now that he's looks to be healthy. Maybe that's why his shot wasn't falling when he first made his debut. Is anybody else even in consideration from this team other than those three?
Not really. Of those three, I think my order of preference goes Jaylen Brown, Kemba, Jason Tatum, simply from price. If it wasn't for – I mean, if Kyle Lowry's inactive, Kemba Walker would then be my number one option of the three. If Kyle Lowry's active, Kemba Walker will be behind Jaylen Brown. Outside of those three, though, there's really not any need to go elsewhere. Daniel Tice has been playing well and playing enough minutes where if you do want to go there at 5,100, you can. He's seen 30 minutes in two of his last three games. I just don't know on a nine-game slate if that's something you need to do.
All right, let's move right along to the Clippers and the Washington Wizards. Kawhi Leonard still on the injury report. He's questionable to play with a back issue. Late scratch Tuesday against the Celtics with the back spasms. So again, you'll hear this a lot throughout this episode of the podcast, but veteran player who's been rested and many times before, day before the All-Star break, I would almost guarantee he sits. Maybe not guarantee, but it makes all the sense in the world. Paul George, going to be a popular option if that's the case. 33.5% usage without Kawhi on the floor, 18% rebounding rate, 1.26 fantasy points per minute, and he's only $8,600.
I don't understand the price here. Like, obviously his game, he had a very, very good game on Tuesday. You could attribute it to the fact that Kawhi was the late inactive, but regardless, this is $1,000 cheaper than we've seen him this year,
right?
With a full rotation. Like,
even if Kawhi plays, $8,600
it's $1,000 too cheap, and one of arguably the best matchup you can ask for. I want one of these two in my lineup, and it's probably going to be Paul George. Especially, I mean, Kawhi's cheap at $9,100, but I would be lying if I said I was confident after rostering him on Tuesday, only to have my lineup completely screwed. Especially seeing that questionable tag, because if he's, say they rule him active, what's to say the back spasms don't flare up right before the game again? So
yeah, they can be
tricky. I do think there's just so much more safety with Paul George, but both of them are very, very cheap for the matchup.
The Clippers started Beverly, Paul George, Reggie Jackson, Batum, and Ibaka in that last game. We've seen, like, Lou Williams has been much better as of late, but I probably still won't go to him. The minutes haven't been great. Do you like anybody else from this team? Like, it's a team that we've talked about a lot this year, where it's like you play you play Kawhi and Paul George, and everybody else is a little bit underwhelming. But with Kawhi out, you know, things could open up. Also, Marcus Morris is out too, so that should solidify the minutes for Nicholas Batum, who played 30. He's played 30 in back-to-back games. He's 4,200. As I mentioned, Ibaka, he's somebody I really only play when one of these guys are out, because he gets a huge usage bump. He still probably won't play like 32 minutes or anything, but 4,800 for Serge Ibaka is definitely enticing, especially when you consider that he's got a solid 25.5% usage and 29% rebounding rate with Kawhi Leonard off the floor this season.
Yeah, I like Serge's price a lot. Correct me if I'm wrong, was it Reggie Jackson that started for Kawhi last game?
Yeah, they started Jackson alongside Beverly, and then went Batum, George, and Serge Ibaka.
So, I mean, hypothetically, say they do the same thing, I think you can get away with Reggie Jackson. He saw 37 minutes last game. And plus, you know, Reggie Jackson's still sitting at under 4K, and this is obviously a smash spot. So you get 10 minutes less than that at 27, and you're still confident in this matchup. So I like Reggie Jackson if Kawhi Leonard misses and he finds himself in the starting lineup again. I'm kind of torn on what to do with Lou Williams. With both Kawhi Leonard and Marcus Morris off the floor this season, Lou Williams has the second highest usage rate on the team at 28.7% with a 25.6% assist rate. The issue is, like, especially recently, like, sure, he has those underlying peripherals, but, like, the production hasn't really matched that. Like,
yeah, and last if Kawhi's game, out, you can just, four, you can 13. Get, like, you can get similar production from Lou Williams with Reggie Jackson, who's probably going to play more minutes if he starts again.
For $1,400 cheaper, I would just take my chances there. There's certainly a ceiling here. I just don't feel confident enough about the floor on a 9-game slate. So if you're looking at the value, I prioritize, again, if Kawhi's out, Reggie Jackson and Serge Ibaka.
For the Wizards, Russell Westbrook's been fantastic lately, just a walking triple-double or close to it. He's double-doubled or triple-doubled in like 10, yeah, in each of his last 10 games. 10-4 for him. Matchup is okay, but it's obviously better if Kawhi's out. He's 10-4. Beal's 9,900. I think they're both obviously in play. They're not really priorities for me on the slate at their price tags. Like, I think Paul George, if Kawhi's out, it's just a better play than both of those guys. But, I mean, it's hard to ignore what Westbrook's done as of late and what Bradley Beal's done pretty much all year.
Yeah, I agree. And I don't think the ownership will be there because of the matchup. Obviously, if Kawhi is out, this matchup does get better for the Wizards team as a whole. The Wizards have also been putting up points. Like, they should be able, like, I don't see this coming in as like a 10-point spread. So I do think this is a game that can hang around long enough where both of these players could do what they need to do. Because of the matchup, though, I would probably opt for the $500 savings and go with Bradley Beal. Like I've talked about, like he is putting together obviously enough scoring, but enough peripherals to kind of float around that 5-6x even at a price tag like this. So I certainly like going back to him after a down game at what I expect to be low ownership. Outside of those two, though, like this team is really, really hard to trust when Westbrook is active just because he continues to soak up literally every peripheral from every other role player. Like, I'm not paying $5,600 for Rui Hachimura.
He's gonna get I don't feel confident enough. Yeah. As a ceiling. Like, I'm good.
Exactly, and that's the issue. And, like, Davis Bertans, like, he probably has, like, a 35 fantasy point ceiling, but for him to hit that, he's going to have a game like he did.
He's got a Bogdanovich.
Against Denver, yeah. Like, he would have to go, like, against Denver on the 17th of February, went 9 of 11 from 3, and it took him 35 raw points to hit a ceiling, and where he only had, like, I think, like, 4 total peripheral stats. Like, I just don't trust – I don't have the confidence enough in that on a full slate. If this was, like, a 3- or 4-game slate, it'd be a completely different conversation.
All right, let's move on. Detroit Pistons at the New York Knicks. Jeremy Grant didn't play on Wednesday. They're calling it a quad injury. I call it tanking. I expect him to be back in this game. But this game's pretty gross. I mean, we have Derrick Rose questionable on the other side with his COVID protocols. Elfrid Payton's doubtful with the hamstring, so we could see another nice game from Emmanuel Quickley, who, by the way, didn't make the Rising Stars team, nor did Darius Garland. It's ridiculous. The NBA is the best sport in the world, but they have some questionable roster slash award slash decision making moves. Like, it's just, I don't know. By the way, the USA team might win by 60. I don't know if you saw the full roster.
It might be more than that.
It's not even fair. Like, who's the best player on the world team? RJ Barrett? Like,
yeah.
It's the US team has LaMelo, Zion, Ja, Tyler Hero,
Tyrese Halliburton.
Right. Like just mix it up. Mix up the teams. It's like,
I know. Unreal. It should just be similar to the All-Star team and they just do a draft or something.
Like, that is really, like, the last couple years we've had, like, Luka on the world team. That's helped, obviously.
Trae Young on the I guess he was on the US team. Are they actually playing?
Isn't Shai Gilgeous-Alexander Canadian?
Yep.
Yeah, so, like, we've had players like that, but, like, this year it's just been the world team doesn't have a shot. Not that anybody cares. But anyway, speaking of Emmanuel Quickley, not on that roster, but with Derrick Rose that last game, played 29 minutes, still didn't start, but you also don't hate that because he can dominate usage with the second unit. 26 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, and 41 fantasy points in 29 minutes. At 5,300, rather, are we going right back to him here if Derrick Rose is ruled out?
I am. I don't care if he starts or not. He proved last game. He's proved time and time again this year. He doesn't need 30 minutes to get a ceiling. So it's that makes you think what his ceiling would be if he does get 30 minutes. I don't know what Thibodeau's issue is, but he just refuses to grant him that. I'll go right back to the well. Detroit's an extremely exploitable matchup. His price is not caught up yet. I would still rather play quickly at that price over Frank Ntilikina at $3,200 even. Like, he didn't do anything with his 25 minutes last game. So
yeah,
I would defer
to him. Yeah, he never does ever. He needs like 6 steals.
He needs like 60 minutes to get there.
That too, yeah.
So I'm fine going there. Obviously, the ball would then obviously flow into Julius Randle and RJ Barrett's hands more. RJ Barrett was, I was expecting a lot more out of him last game. I think everyone was. Minutes were down.
Literally 27 of the 36 games he played. Yeah,
that's a very fair point. I don't know if I'll go there at 6K. The Knicks are a team where I'd rather spend all the way up for Julius Randle at 9-6 because Detroit is awful against in centers this season, and obviously Randle is sliding over the center when Noel is not on the court. Or Emmanuel quickly. I don't hate Nerlens Noel for 5-6. You know, his floor is right about 5. He's playing a ton of minutes without Taj Gibson. His floor is about 5X, so he's fine.
I'd rather play Ibaka if Kawhi's out.
If Kawhi, I still think I'd rather play Nerlens Noel.
Nerlens will definitely play more minutes.
I would argue, but the thing is, they have similar ceilings for what is Serge, $4,800?
Yeah.
Or $800 less? Yeah, I get it.
And yeah, Randall's fine. Not my favorite play in the slate, but you know what you're going to get from him.
Yeah. Oh, TJ McConnell just had his 10th steal. Now has a triple, a 16-point 10 steal, 13 assists, triple-double. And Dennis Smith is one stat away from a triple-double. That perfectly sums up this NBA slate that we're talking.
Perfectly segues too, because Dennis Smith Jr. here, obviously dominating the ball tonight with Josh Jackson, Jeremy Grant, Killian Hayes has obviously been out, DeLon Wright. All these guys are going to be out again, outside of probably Jeremy Grant. So Dennis Smith Jr. 4,800. I mean, terrible matchup. No team plays slower than New York, but obviously he's been much better lately. And then I don't know, Jeremy Grant, I probably won't go to on this slate. It's just such an ugly matchup.
Yeah, I have a hard time getting to really any of the Pistons in this matchup. I think you can look towards Dennis Smith for 4,800. I think you can look to. I don't even know if you can look to Saven Lee at this point. Like, he minutes are back down in the low 20s. I don't want to either. I just hate the idea of having a shred of confidence in Dennis Smith. It just doesn't feel good, especially in this matchup. Like, this is a brutal matchup for the entirety of the Pistons team. I don't care. Like, Mason Plumlee right now is another stat away from a triple-double as well. $6,400 for him against the Knicks is not a price I want to pay. Like, I will probably full fade the Pistons and just opt for, like, either Julius Randle or Emmanuel Quickley in this game.
All right, moving right along. Denver at Indiana. We have a battle between the leaders in the NBA in touches per game, Nikola Jokic and Domantas Sabonis. I don't have words to describe Jokic anymore. Just play him if you want. He's that good. He's right there.
He's still under 11K.
Right. He's right there with anybody you want to make a case for in the MVP race. Millsap, Gary Harris, Campazzo are all out, as well as Jermichael Green. So we've seen Michael Porter Jr. He's double-doubled in four of the last five games, and he didn't last game. He only played 25 minutes in a blowout because Denver beat the living crap out of the Milwaukee Bucks.
I'm silent because we looked fucking awful.
But yeah, he's got a rebounding rate like north of 20%+ with Jermichael Green and Paul Millsap off the floor. 6,800 is perfectly fine in tournaments because in close games he's been playing 35 to 40 minutes. I mean, he's played in the last, what, five games? There's been three of them that have been competitive. He's played 35, 41, and 40 minutes in those games. So we know the tournament upside's there. I like Michael Porter Jr. I like Jokic, obviously. Jamal Murray, I probably won't go to unless I'm stacking this game. I think he's fine. He's obviously been playing great lately. But at his price, the matchup is better for Jokic and Porter, in my opinion. And apparently, like, he's going to have to go against TJ McConnell. So that's like going against Rodman, apparently. So I'm good on that.
Yeah, there's obviously a ceiling there. This is a slate where I don't think you need to go there at 8,500.
Like, more, Brogdon or Jamal Murray?
Brogdon. And I'm not going to hesitate for $500 cheaper.
That's what I thought you were leaning towards. It's just a bad matchup.
It is. And I mean, I'm not going to discredit the player Jamal Murray is or the ceiling he has. I just don't think you need to go there. Nikola Jokic is still just too cheap. Like, if you're playing Nugget, play Nikola Jokic. He's been literally the most reliable fantasy asset of the entire season. And he still has, like, he should realistically be like 11-9, given his production, maybe more.
I mean, he's doing better, or like he's doing what Westbrook was doing when he was like almost or pushing 12K and over 12K. He's doing right, very similar to that. Yeah, 27, exactly. 11, and 8.5. Like, it's absurd. And like, he's playing huge minutes on like last year.
Yeah. That was the only issue last year. And look at like everything everyone said, you know, if he gets the minutes, XYZ will happen. It's coming to fruition. This is why he needed those minutes. So I obviously all over Jokic. I don't care about the matchup. I'm a little torn on MPJ. He sucked me back in last game, only a disappointment of foul trouble against the Bucks. 6,800, I don't think I would go here on DraftKings, but on FanDuel, a site that the small forward position is perpetually thin, slate in and slate out. He's priced a bit cheaper at 6,600. I think you can get away there, knowing that there is a ceiling here, assuming he stays out of foul trouble. The foul trouble is really the only reason he saw less than 30 minutes last game.
For the Pacers, I think Brogdon's fine at 8K. It's a bonus, 9,800. I think it's a little expensive for my blood. We know he has triple-double upside, but I just think there's – and it's a good matchup. We know Denver cannot protect the rim, bottom five. are actually dead last in field goal percentage allowed at the rim. But like, you got Zion at 9,300. You have Randall at 9,600. I just think you can go elsewhere and get similar production. Maybe not as, you know, well-rounded, but I think he's okay. And then TJ McConnell, I mean, he came off the bench and did what he did tonight. I don't think I'll be playing him at 6K, but he's quietly been really good over the last month. Whenever he's on the floor, I don't think you can play him at 6K.
No, I don't either. Unless someone is ruled out, I just don't see the appeal here. Like, obviously he's not going to have back-to-back 10-plus steal games. If he does, I would withdraw literally every fund I have and never play DFS again, because it's that unlikely it's going to happen. If Brogdon is ruled out for some odd reason for rest, sure, fire up McConnell. But I don't think you need to go there. I like Brogdon. I don't hate Sabonis at 9-8, but again, because there's so many better center options on DraftKings, I'd rather just go to him at 9,200 on FanDuel. Outside of them, like, anytime Miles Turner is within this price range, he at least catches my eye. Like, he is going to, he has the upside to have like 40, 50 DK points. You know, we saw it on the 26th against Boston when he had 17 points, 10 rebounds, and a trio of blocks. You know, that outcome is certainly in the range of outcomes, but I just don't know how much I trust it in tournaments on a 9-game slate. He's cheap.
Yeah, he really is, actually. I didn't even realize he was under 6K. Like, you hope he either gets the 6-block game that he's capable of or walks into 6 or 7 rebounds. But also, like, at this price, he's not going to absolutely destroy you. Yeah, it's actually a pretty good call. All right, let's go to your Milwaukee Bucks. They're at Memphis here. No injury news here, I believe. Jrue Holiday's back. I don't think we've talked about him since he's been back on the podcast. But Holiday is back. He's been limited in terms of minutes. He's played 18 in consecutive games. I would imagine he'll probably be limited again, final game before the break. So at 7,300, unless we get word, I probably won't go to him. But Giannis, 11K. Do you like him more than Jokic? I guess that's the question on this slate. Because you look at the high-end plays, it's really those two, and you can throw Damian Lillard in there with a Magic pick in Sacramento.
I like Giannis. I never don't like him. Obviously, Memphis, a middling matchup, but when it comes to someone like Giannis, the matchup doesn't matter. I do not like him more than Jokic. I do think there is just a little more volatility in Giannis than Jokic, and we saw it last game when they went head-to-head. Giannis only posted 46 fantasy points. Obviously, the Bucks got blown out of the water, so that may have something to do with it, but he still played 33 minutes in a blowout, only posted 46 fantasy points. So I just trust Jokic right now more. Matchup is fine for both of them. So I'll take the $100 savings is incremental, but Jokic should be more expensive than Giannis. I don't know if I can go, frankly, anywhere else on Milwaukee.
Yeah, I'm off the rest of this team.
Chris Middleton at 84 is a little rich for my blood with Jrue Holiday working his way back. And then the other pieces, you know, Dante, DJ Augustine, Pat Connaughton, like all of these players are kind of still priced up a bit from that 10-game absence from Jrue Holiday, where now he's going to siphon those minutes back. Their ceiling just isn't close to what it needs to be at their prices. The one guy, like Brook Lopez at 4,300 against a traditional center and Jonas Valanciunas, is appealing because they're going to need a size. Unless the Bucks try and phase out Joe Val and bring in Giannis at the 5, I think there is some merit there at 4,300.
Yeah, and I mean, he played 25 minutes in a blowout against Denver. So, like, if the game's closer with another traditional center on the other side,
yep.
Well, Jokic isn't a traditional center because he's incredibly gifted.
He's bigger, though.
But yeah, exactly. You know, so he could get to 33 minutes at 4,300. We know he could go for like 35 fantasy points despite not grabbing a ton of rebounds. I'm not really on this game though. Like Memphis, I was all over John Morant last game. He was too cheap and it was a great matchup because like 40% of his field goal attempts this year come from the free throw line and in, which is classified as a short mid range. And Washington allowed the highest field goal percentage in basketball. So it was an easy play for me, especially at his price, especially because Washington, a bad defense. Milwaukee's not been as good this year, but they're still better than Milwaukee. Yeah, they play fast, but like, Morant's priced up. Joe Val's priced up. The rest of the secondary pieces, like Brandon Clark, Kyle Anderson, like none of these guys are cheap. I think Clark's okay, but like I'm not really excited about this game at all.
No, I'm not either. This is a game that caters more towards just the casual fan than it does a DFS player. I was about to say, I think you can still get away with Jovell and John Morant, but I just don't think you need to at their prices. Like John Morant, when he was $7,400 and below, was much more appealing than he is now, and the same kind of applies to Jovell. So I'm with you. I'm off this game.
All right, let's move on to our favorite player in the NBA, Zion Williamson, at home against Miami. Who did he dunk on tonight?
Everyone.
Right, yeah, he's unreal. Back-to-back
for... I think he's over 7.5.
He's ridiculous.
Yeah, he had 4 at halftime. Let's double-check if he's got 4. God damn it, Zion.
Anyway, he's a beast, 9,300. We'll see if anybody rests for the Pelicans, second end of back-to-back. Miami, though, the more interesting team here because they're banged up. Jimmy Butler's missed the last two games with a knee injury. Again, veteran players missed time this year right before the All-Star break. Possible he sits. Bam Adebayo has been banged up and questionable, too, with tendonitis. But he's played with the issue pretty much for the last handful. Like, he hasn't missed a game since January. So, like, he's been playing through stuff, but he's questionable. So, we'll see if he plays. If Butler and or Bam are out, you have Goran Dragic at 5,900. He's usually pretty safe at that price, especially when other ball handlers are out. Tyler Hero's got more of a ceiling because he'll probably offer more in peripherals. He's 6,100. His minutes have been great, but one game was a blowout. Who do you like for Miami here?
For Miami, it obviously contingent on the injury report, but even if just Jimmy Butler is out, I think you can still get away with Goran Dragic and Kendrick Nunn. Dragic was a bit disappointing last game. I played him specifically on FanDuel. He's still super cheap. He was 5'4 last slate on FanDuel. On this slate, he's 5'4 again. So, again, really, really good price for a player that, with Jimmy Butler off the court on the season as a whole, has a team-leading 30% usage rate. So not something you find at that price very often. Had about 20 fantasy points at half and ended with 28.6. So, obviously, room for improvement, but 30 minutes, like, I would expect more out of him. And even if you do finish with, you know, 28, 29 fantasy points at 5-4, that's okay. Like, that is getting you there and a little more. Kendrick Nunn, though, I probably have a little more confidence in. His minutes have been, like, ultra secure. Had a pretty efficient shooting last game, 3-for-12 from the field. Obviously, he converts maybe 5 more shots and he gets you there. So I'm fine going back to Kendrick Nunn, and I would assume, as Tyler Herro continues to remove himself from his lengthy absence, he'll see more minutes. He still saw 28 minutes last game, but again, much like Kendrick Nunn, shot the ball inefficiently, 3-of-12 from the field. Not a ton of peripherals either. He usually has a bit more of a role from the distribution standpoint. So I think all three of them are viable with Butler out. I would, however, and I mentioned this in the Discord last game, I would limit your exposure. I probably wouldn't play Dragic and Nunn together, but I think you can pair Hero with either of the two.
I think Bam plays, but in case he doesn't, Kelly Olynyk makes for a really solid option. But again, I do think Bam plays. If he does play, the Pelicans quietly, despite having Zion and Steven Adams, they're bottom five in rim protection this year.
Yep.
Bad game for Bam last time out, but we know he's going to get you most nights 45 and then some. With his peripherals. And Jimmy Butler, like we talked about, since he's been back, has been dominating usage, getting a ton of rebounds. So, like, I think Bam could kind of just soak up anything that's missing there. And he's already a high peripheral guy, but Bam would be a really strong center option. Like, I would play Bam over the guys we talked about, Sabonis, Julius Randle, some of those guys.
So if Bam's out, you obviously mentioned Olynyk. Does that change? Do you think the Heat potentially go small? Would that make you like Precious Achiuwa at all? Or would it really just be Olynyk?
They like Achiuwa, and Achiuwa's been a pretty efficient rebounder when he's been on the floor this season. I wouldn't hate him. The problem is he's center only.
Oh, yeah, I didn't realize he lost the forward eligibility. That definitely
– yeah.
That's tough with someone that cheap and that volatile. Yeah, I'd rather obviously just go Olynyk then.
For the Pelicans –
Olynyk also has the power forward eligibility.
Yeah. For the Pelicans, Zion, we're not going to talk about him anymore. He's just unlocked a new ceiling. But I will ask you, do you know which player is currently fourth in the NBA in points per game off spot ups? Sorry, third. Third.
Third. Obviously on the Pelicans, I assume.
Yeah.
Is it Eric Bledsoe?
It's Lonzo Ball. Lonzo Ball is a spot up shooter.
He's been shooting a ton more lately.
Dude, Lonzo Ball is a spot up shooter.
I thought you were going to say Eric Bledsoe just to piss me off, so I'm glad that wasn't the answer.
6.4 points per game off spot ups, a 37% frequency rate. Like, Lonzo Ball is literally a spot up shooter right now. Well, especially as of late, with Zion handling the ball more.
Look at his last 10 games. He's made at least one three in every single game, at least three in all but two games. In those 10 games, there have been five games where he's attempted at least 10 threes. He's completely changed his game. And I mean, 71.
And I talked about it like the last, I don't know, week, 2 weeks plus, they're just putting the ball in Zion's hands more and the pick and roll and everything. It's like when you have this ridiculous athlete, they're just kind of playing a lot more spread out, let Zion attack. And Zion, we've also seen Zion, like, it's not a surprise that Lonzo's 3-point attempts and makes have gone up as Zion's assists have gone up.
Yep.
It's really interesting what's happening with the Pelicans. But what do you make of them here? Like, Brandon Ingram has kind of just been like the afterthought for me in fantasy as of late, just because Zion's been so good. Ingram's been their offense has changed. There's a lot of ISO with Brandon Ingram to start the year. That's changed. Zion's got the higher ceiling, and like Lonzo's been just as high of a floor, especially as of late, as Brandon Ingram. He's always significantly cheaper.
Yeah, the way Zion is playing right now, I just, even with price baked, I just can't prioritize.
Would you play him against the bad boy Pistons at 9,300? Because I might.
Yes.
I would.
Yep. I don't care who Zion's playing right now, I will play him.
Bill Laimbeer.
Bill Laimbeer would get bodied by Zion right now. I wrote it up in my game by game.
You wrote that up in your game by game? That'd be awesome.
No, God, that would have been awesome. But no, I wrote up the fact that, like, obviously the matchup with the Bulls, but Zion's playing at a level right now where I would consider paying 10K for him. So I do.
He's a lock
think
for 20 real very, points, and his rebounds and assists are up.
And he will get blocks and steals as well. As attractive as his $9,300 price is, he's still only $8,900 on FanDuel. Who rewards blocks and steals more? Like, he's locked in as my top power forward of the slate. Like, dollar for dollar, I am, especially based on roster construction, I'm prioritizing him over Giannis on this slate. And also, again, based on roster construction, right, because I want Jokic.
Right. I mentioned that stat with Lonzo because Miami is allowing the second most spot up points per game this year. I think Lonzo is a perfectly fine cash play, at least at 7,100. He's been much better. And the peripherals are still there for him. They're not a zero, and he's still playing more minutes than Eric Bledsoe and handling the ball more. Anybody else in this team, though?
No, not really.
All right, three games left. Oklahoma City at San Antonio. The Spurs have been dealing with some COVID stuff. Derek White once again out. Same for Devin Vassell. Rudy Gay, I believe, Rudy Gay is out. And LaMarcus Aldridge is questionable with an illness. So he might sit. That would see more minutes for Pirtle, Drew Ebanks, maybe Trey Lyles. But this team clearly running through DeJounte Murray and DeMar DeRozan right now. Murray, 7,900. DeRozan, 8,200 on DraftKings. Oklahoma City, not a terrifying matchup. They've also crashed in terms of what they've allowed at the rim. They're bottom three in rim protection this year, and we know DeRozan's top five in drives per game. That's a big part of DeJounte Murray's game, too.
Yeah, I think these prices are both pretty fair. Over the last week, DeJounte Murray, 24.5% usage rate, 29.3% assist rate, just under 1.3 DK points.
What's his rebound rate?
10.9.
Really?
Yep.
Seems low because he's led this team in rebounding opportunities per game for most of the year.
DeMar DeRozan over the last week, 44.3% assist rate, 25% usage rate, 1.21 DK points per minute. Just justifying these prices. I do think they are a touch cheap. DeJounte Murray is a triple-double threat. DeMar DeRozan, it seems like a lock for 40 fantasy points, which is essentially a 5X floor here. So I like both of them a lot, and I do think they will go a bit under-owned. just because of the other options on the slate. Outside of those two, though,
Kelton Johnson came back, right? But he's limited.
Yep, he came off the bench. He did not start.
Came off the bench Tuesday and played, what, 10 and a half minutes, 11 minutes?
Yeah. So I would struggle. I do think Lyles still draws the start, although I think we could see Kelton ramp up to maybe like 15 to 17 minutes. Obviously, they literally reference conditioning as the issue that he didn't start and why he was limited. Mm-hmm. Which is why I think he probably still would be limited one game off of that. So I don't have interest in Kelton. I don't have interest in Trey Lyles because someone who's already that volatile, who already doesn't play 30 minutes, the presence of Kelton Johnson, even for 15 minutes, and of course I say that, and Trey Lyles played 30 minutes last game, is a little scary for me. I don't mind Jakob Poeltl for 6'2". He's not going to garner any ownership, but he's been such a lot more consistent. It's a very awkward price. This is the people at center pay up or they pay down. They never look towards this range. Mm-hmm. In this matchup, I'd rather play Jakob Poeltl than Al Horford.
I agree with that. I'm not on Horford since this team's gotten healthy. It's just Poeltl's got the higher ceiling. Like, do you like anybody from OKC other than SGA, who I don't think is like a core player for me, but at 9K, you know he's safe. He's always been.
Yeah, I don't. It's rough. Leading in drives per game right now. He's literally doing it all. I just I don't think you need to go here at 9K, but if I was forced to choose an option from OKC, he'd obviously be the one.
All right, this game going to be pretty popular. Sacramento at Portland. A lot of pace, a lot of bad defense in this game. Still no McCollum or Nurkic. Halliburton for Sacramento is out. Buddy Hield. So the Kings played on Wednesday. They announced Buddy Hield will start, but have his minutes monitored. Yep. So that's something to keep an eye on as we go into Thursday's game, obviously. Maybe he sits. That would open things up, obviously, for everyone else in this team. Harrison Barnes, your guy, 7,100. He's been...
That's expensive.
over 40 fantasy points in three straight games. Peripherals have been great. 20-plus points. Shot attempts have been great. He's kind of been doing everything. This team's expensive. Bagley, my guy, 6,700.
Coming off that's 24. The highest price for him this year. It has to be.
It has to be, yeah.
For both him and Barnes.
I don't know if I can go to that price tag for Bagley. But the one thing I'll say is Halliburton being out is huge because the reason Bagley doesn't close games for this team is because Halliburton does, and they close with Fox, Halliburton, Hield, Barnes, and Holmes. Now they're closing with Bagley, which gives him like 6 or 7 extra minutes.
Yep. So I obviously enticing matchup. Who would you rather spend money on then, Marvin Bagley at 6'7" or Harrison Barnes at 7'1"?
It's only a $400 difference. Barnes is way safer.
Yeah, I agree. De'Aaron Fox, obviously phenomenal play at 8'9". Damian Lillard is one of the worst defensive point guards in the league when you measure it by defensive real plus minus. Rashawn Holmes, very enticing as well, especially against the traditional center, Enes Kanter. I do probably prefer Kanter on the other side of the ball, even though
that's the other thing. I'd rather play Holmes over Bagley, too.
Yeah, so would I. Buddy Hield is fine. I think at 6'3 on DraftKings, he's even cheaper he's $100 more on FanDuel. Had a ceiling game last game. You know, he had 30 real points. The issue is, when we've seen him do this before, he'll have these like blips on the radar where he will score 20 to 30 points and then disappear and not do it again for 5 weeks. So if there's a matchup for him to repeat, this is the one. But I think my interest here lies in De'Aaron Fox and then the Portland side of the ball.
Let's talk about Portland. Damian Lillard has to be viewed as one of the best plays of the slate. He kind of always is, especially with CJ McCollum out. But against Sacramento, I mean,
maybe it's hard. This team runs at a high pace, horrible defense, horrible transition. He
just
not
scored 52 fantasy points and shot 8 of 21 from the field.
So if you hypothetically against this Sacramento defense, you up that to 13 of 21 from the field, and he has 70-plus fantasy points.
Right. He's probably the first or second best play on the slate for me in terms of just overall fantasy points. Gary Trent let me down last game against Charlotte, but still got 17 real points. Like, he's just chucking. 11 shots is the fewest he's taken in the game in a long time. 5,700, I think you can take a shot at him in this matchup.
Yep.
And then Kanter. We were worried a little bit about Kanter not playing as many minutes in case Charlotte went small without Cody Zeller. He had 11 and 11, but he only played 24 minutes. In this game, with Halliburton out, that actually helps Cantor because there's going to be...
Bailey and Holmes will see...
Exactly. So, and also, it didn't help that Carmelo Anthony just balled out of his freaking mind in that last game, and he played 32 minutes.
So did Robert Covington.
Yeah, you were on Covington. 38 minutes, 21 points, 10 rebounds. Played more at the 5, 47.5 fantasy points. He kind of did what I thought Trent would do from 3, 5 of 7. What do you think of these secondary pieces from Portland? Because obviously Lillard is great, and I like Trent, but Cantor's obviously interesting in this spot.
Honestly, I think all three of the ancillary pieces are perfectly viable, pending salary. I think Covington and Trent really fit that mold of like last man into your lineup. And I think both are fine to pair with Lillard because you're getting two – with Trent, at least, you're getting the two most volume-heavy players on the team. With Robert Covington, if he shoots like last game, you're getting a ton of their offense. I like Cantor for 7-4 more than I like Holmes for 6-4 on the other side of the ball. I do probably prefer a handful of other centers on the slate in general, but Cantor obviously has upside in tournaments. I'm trying to figure out whether I like Carmelo Anthony or not at 5-5. Like you said, like played out of his mind, 29 points, 10 of 19 from the field, 6 of 10 from 3. He's topped 30 fantasy points in 32 minutes in two of his last three games. So I'd like to think, and look at those two games, Denver, horrible defense, Charlotte, horrible defense. Like it's all, and then LA, the Lakers in LA only played 20 minutes. Phoenix only played 22. So in these last four games, his performances have really aligned with his matchup. So if we're going on that trend alone, he's in a good spot tonight.
Yeah, Sacramento, like you can kind of play anybody. They're that bad. This game should be very, very enticing for fantasy. I expect a lot of points scored. Closing it out with Golden State at Phoenix. Golden State playing on Wednesday night. Kelly Oubre was ruled out, so we'll have to keep an eye on that for Thursday. Steph Curry, 10-1 on DraftKings. Fine, but I'm not playing him over Lillard, who's not that much more expensive. I think I like Fox more. I think Curry against Phoenix, Chris Paul defense, they can throw Mikal Bridges on him because I don't think you worry about Wiggins, and you're obviously not worried about Draymond Green from a scoring standpoint. So they could put both Paul and or Mikal Bridges on him in this game. Not that Curry's not going to get his, but just not the spot for me to pay up for him compared to some of these other players. Draymond, 7,400, man.
I still like it. I do.
So I'm a Draymond guy, and that price scares me. But the 13-minute game obviously was, it was a joke. Is that the game he got ejected, or did he leave early? No, he left early that game. Booker got ejected against the Lakers.
Yeah, ejections in the NBA these last 2 weeks have been ridiculous.
Dude, the refs got to get on TV more.
Booker and J.J. Redick was the one like last week.
Redick threw up. Oh, my God. He spun the ball.
And the thing is, like, you put spin on a ball like that when you're in, like, elementary school to look cool and throw the ball around someone. You're clearly not throwing it at the ref.
And it's J.J. Redick. Like, I know. J.J. Redick has done stuff for the league. He does a podcast. Like, it's not like it's some unproven rookie. It's J.J. Redick.
Yeah, it's not Kevin Porter Jr.
I mean, I doesn't play for the Cavs anymore. I'm good.
That's true. There are a lot of reasons why he doesn't play for the Cavs. I'm fine with the price, but obviously if there's a matchup to get off of it, this is the one.
Dude, I need him to have a stretch after the All-Star break where he averages 20 a game.
Wait.
Draymond, that is.
If he does that, hypothetically after the All-Star game, averages 20 a game, ups his rebounds, like has a couple ceiling rebound games, your prediction will get closer.
I'm telling you right now, it's not going to happen, but if it does, call of the year. Just the call of the year.
Yeah, I'll give you that. I can't even remember what the bold prediction was. Oh, yeah, the Heat won't make it out of the second round of the playoffs, and that's looking pretty damn nice right now.
Yeah.
But the rest of this team, and this has been the case with me just about all year, I just don't have the confidence, especially at their prices, if he plays Kelly Oubre at 7-1, Andrew Wiggins is a little better at 6-4. I just don't trust them on a full slate. I don't think you need to go here. I'm more confident, especially in this matchup.
Yeah,
I'd rather go Curry and Draymond, but again,
I would rather
10-1 is a little rough.
I think I'd rather play Bazemore at 3,500 over Wiggins at 6,400.
I agree, 100%, 100%.
Did you see who started tonight for Golden State? Was it Bazemore?
Bazemore started.
Okay,
so Bazemore, Looney, Draymond, Steph, and Wiggins.
And Wiggins. Okay. Yep. For Phoenix, don't worry about Devin Booker's last game. It was a joke. He still scored 35 fantasy points in 24 minutes, but got ejected. 8100 is perfectly fine for him. Golden State plays fast. Chris Paul has slowed this team down, so it's a nice pace-up spot for them. Between Paul and Booker at 77 and 8100, I think I prefer Booker here. Going to be more of a transition score for this team. Ayton at 6800, just he's just kind of been like fine all year.
Yeah, he's been much better.
There hasn't been a bunch of like ups and downs. Just kind of been steady, like 28 to 38 fantasy points a lot of these games.
Yeah, 100%. The price is appealing, but like the ceiling here is like he doesn't really have that 7-8x ceiling he used to. It's kind of just 6x, and you're kind of clinging on for dear life, hoping that that happens. So I do prefer Booker at 81. Chris Paul, again, you'll never have to talk me into Chris Paul at this price. Like, this is a staple of a cash game play. His worst game, 31.25 DK points last game, that was his worst game in quite some time. This is ideally going to be a pace-up game if Golden State controls the pace. Going head-to-head with another Hall of Famer, this is a game where I can see Chris Paul getting up and a game where I want to pay for him at 7-7.
Should be interesting. Phoenix, number two in the Western Conference. They have been as advertised. They're good, man. Like, I think if Ayton can continue to get better, they could be a tough out in the West. Like, the Lakers look vulnerable right now. The Clippers look a little bit vulnerable right now. Utah's obviously great. But I don't know, man. I Booker's and Paul are obviously great, but I really like Mikal Bridges. Like,
he's such a valuable
player.
He'll be an all defensive player this season. Might not be first team, but he will be second team all defense.
First team is going to be what? Simmons, Gobert, Giannis.
I wouldn't be surprised to see LeBron on there. I'm trying to think who else would be. Simmons, Gobert, Giannis.
Maybe
Chris Paul, maybe Kawhi.
Who should get on there?
Who?
Your most underrated point guard in the NBA. Plays for the Spurs.
He should. He was an all-defensive player, I believe, before his ACL tear, wasn't he?
Yeah, he's awesome.
I absolutely love him. Did you see that shot he hit?
Yeah.
I took his prop. Quick sidebar, 29.5 points, rebounds, and assists.
He hit it on the buzzer beater.
He was at 28. I was going nuts. Because it was
what a win. One.
He got the rebound to get to 28, and that was just like a broken possession.
Yeah, he got the rebound, the and ball. Then like lost the ball. The ball like rolled all over the floor, and it magically goes back in his hands. He has like an 18-footer, and he just nailed it.
I was pumped.
That was awesome. Content-wise, final slate, like, again, before the All-Star break, Joe will have the game-by-game article as he helps me out. I'm doing a lot of prospect stuff. I'm going to be dropping – Kyle Pitts dropped on Wednesday. Check that out. Kadarius Toney will be dropping Thursday or Friday. So I'm in it right now, so I appreciate Joe helping out. I'll have 5 stats, though, and, of course, check out all the live streams. Joe's been helping out a lot with those, obviously. Javi, Kyle Murray, David Jones – obviously, Eddie Fear, all crushing the live streams and content, so you'll be set. And enjoy the All-Star break. Enjoy the festivities. Won't be quite the same, but it's still the NBA. It's still All-Star weekend, and it's still very fun to watch. Best of luck on this slate. Have a good rest of your week. And All-Star break, we'll catch you after the All-Star break here on the FTN Fantasy NBA Podcast.
Thank you for tuning in to today's episode of the FTN NBA Podcast with Adam and Joe. Please subscribe, rate, and review the podcast.